Welcome, everyone. It is the Fly Guys podcast. Justin Goodhart alongside Cameron Klein here in the house of Goodhart because it's just a little too hot out right now for Cameron's liking over at the loft. Cameron, you know, it's amazing. The weather was so nice over the last number of days, and somehow we missed that window, and now we're back to like 87, 89, 93 coming up over the next few days.
Yeah, let me just say the summer's bullshit. The summer sucks, dude. I'm sorry, but the summer sucks.
This is
been like two straight months of 90 plus degrees.
I mean, obviously we went through the very excessive heat wave, which I had not seen in
lasted about 3 weeks.
It felt like that. Now, one of those weeks I was up in the mountains, so I didn't get the full frontal of that. But here's what I'll say. A lot of people don't like this, that whenever I bring this up, I actually quite enjoy the heat. I enjoy being outside,
yes,
out on long walks. Now, this has definitely tested that theory that I love being out in the heat. But the last few days were just, I mean, it was picture perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic.
So we're coming to you. Not much news on the hockey front. Yeah, Sean Monahan got traded today. We understand that.
Where did he go?
He's going to the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay, all right. I saw that he got traded. Yeah. I just didn't see where, and then they signed Nazem Kadri, and it's just like, all right.
It's like, all right. Like, obviously, so we're in a real dead period when it comes to hockey and stuff like that. I'm trying to think of anything that actually might even be going on at this point. No, pretty much nothing.
World Juniors,
obviously.
Yeah.
And that's been very exciting.
If you can't watch Eric Reese, go to his Twitter. He's writing about it. He's writing about the Flyer prospects, too.
Can we just talk about that, how great his coverage
has
been?
Oh, yeah, it's been very good.
The reason why we
know
about
it. The only reason I even know anything.
What Tyson Forrester is doing and Elliot Desaunières is doing is because of what Eric – man, that he has been so great with that coverage. Big shout-out to Eric Reese. If you don't follow him on Twitter, be sure to give him a follow. At Eric Reese PSN. And by the way, congratulations to Eric, as he is actually accepting a position. He's going to stay with PSN, but he's also going to be expanding now into Philadelphia Eagles coverage.
Ooh.
So a big congratulations to Eric Reese. Very happy. Big friend of the show. Personal friend to us. So
he just loves being busy, dude.
I mean, guy doesn't live his life anywhere but like in the fast lane. Always in the fast lane.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? Well, the Phillies, you know, they're in the midst of the wild card chase.
Yep,
they're still in the wild card. They took 2 of 3 from the Reds. They start a 4-game series tomorrow, with the New York Mets.
They won a game against the Mets over the weekend, which is pretty crazy.
They took the game that I didn't think they'd win. I thought they'd lose 2 of 3. So when they took the first game, I was feeling pretty good about their chances of actually taking 2 of 3. I was a little disappointed about their efforts on Sunday against Chris Bassitt. But, no, they're in it. They're right there. The hope is that the Braves game does not get rained out tonight.
Yep.
Because we don't want to have to face Jacob DeGrom back in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Is that coward's talk?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
Do
fine.
I care? Not one bit. I want to win as many games as I can, as cheaply as I can.
Yeah. Let's be real.
What else is going on? Oh, I'm moving.
Yes.
There's that.
Yes, you are. To Harrisburg.
Moving to Harrisburg.
Back to the old, kind of close to the old college stomping grounds. 30 minutes from it.
I don't. 30 minutes, you think?
45?
Like,
I don't know.
I feel like it's probably 45 minutes to an hour. I'm not planning on going to Shippensburg. No one's there that I would go see.
Yeah.
But,
it's kind of a, other than the college, it's kind of a nothing town.
It's certainly a nothing burger in terms
Sorry.
Of towns. But no, I'm going to, about a month from now, I'll be moving from the good old graces of my parents' household into my own apartment out there.
Nice.
Continuing my work with Penn State Harrisburg.
Yes.
And my full-time position elsewhere. But the natural question that comes next is, what does this mean to the show? What does this mean to our future? Not really anything. It doesn't really
change.
We'll just go remote if we need to.
Really.
What'll be really cool is those days that I come home and we're like, yo, man, you want to get together and just do a podcast?
It'll be cool.
It'll be like, you know,
it'll be a
throwback.
Lot of fun.
So,
that's the one thing I'm not worried really about.
Nah, I
haven't even thought about it.
My mom asked me, like, oh, so does that mean the show's over? I was like, the show goes on, you know?
It's not that hard.
But if anyone listening wants to send me money for moving expenses, you are more than welcome to.
Yeah.
I absolutely appreciate that. Cameron, you had your little bachelorette. God damn.
Yeah.
Your bachelorette
weekend. Party. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was exhausting. It was pretty much, we went down Thursday night, stayed up till about 4 o'clock in the morning, up till about 4 o'clock in the morning Friday night.
I would not have made
it. It's just, dude, you'd be amazed how 3 hours go by when you're playing poker. They fly.
Oh my God, yeah.
Fly, yeah. People are throwing money down, especially when some people, cousin Ryan, doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, and they're just throwing money out. They're just throwing money out there. And like, They just drive at the price. Oh, I'm going to go in 15 here, even though the minimum buy-in is $2. Everyone's like, oh, okay, he must have something good. Nope, he's got a high 6.
Oh, God.
That's it. Just completely ruining the table. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Friday, we went golfing, which was cool. It was like an actual, like, legit course.
See, that's the thing. I knew you guys were going to be going golfing, which with that made me so angry I couldn't go because that was the one thing I was looking forward to.
It was a beautiful course, dude.
Where was the course?
It was in the Poconos. Yeah. So, like, it was – I don't really know exactly what it was called. I don't remember. But it was – some of the holes were, like, 500 yards distance. Like, it was a legit course. We had no business being there. But we made the best out of it. We had a lot of fun. And it was funny because, you know, Thursday night we partied hard. First night there, everyone gets, you know, kind of ridiculously trashed. And then so we go out. We all wake up Friday morning. We're like, I feel fine. I actually feel okay.
Yeah.
I'm not hungover, said everybody. And then we get out there, and we had to go in groups of threes in order to separate the tee times and get everything, you know, running smoothly. And I'm with my two cousins, and hole one, we're talking, you know, normal. Oh, you know, this is my club, blah, 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 blah. Hole two. No talking, dead silence. Hole three, I pull up behind them because we had two carts, and my one cousin comes out and he just goes, "This is the worst delayed hangover I've ever had in my entire life."
I've had one delayed hangover in my life, and I thought, I was like, I'm in the morning when I woke up that, and I remember exactly when it was. I remember waking up thinking, I am Iron Man. I cannot have a hangover. Because up to that point, I'm like, you know, I've never really had much of a hangover. And then probably within 3 hours.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. Oh, it was one of the worst headaches I've ever had. And what's funny is, like, dude, I mean, we were drinking from like 6 to about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. God. It was like, yeah, it was ridiculous.
That's like my shift at work.
Yeah. It was 6 hours of alcohol time. Now, granted, we were sprinkling waters in, and about the last 2 hours, we were just pounding. Everybody was pounding waters at the poker table. But I didn't know. Here's a thing that I learned. Cart girls. Do you know what those are?
Cart girls?
Yeah. When you go to a real course, which I had never been to before, there are these girls, or a girl, or whatever. I think there was two there, that just drive around the course in a cart. They sell food, more alcohol.
What?
Yeah. All kinds of shit. It was amazing.
How much were like the snacks and everything?
I don't know, because I didn't pay for anything. They wouldn't let me pay for anything. My cousin would not let me pay for anything.
I mean, you shouldn't have.
Yeah, and we ended up, you know, like, taking shots with her. It was a whole thing. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, dude. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, we all were getting trashed again.
I could have had a shot with a cart girl.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. We tried getting one of our friends to, like, we're like, dude, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, we were lying to him and telling him that, like, she was saying things about him when she wasn't. But we were just trying to get his confidence up. Anyway, had a lot of fun.
You guys, that would have been me. I would have been the guy you lied to.
We would have lied to you about it. Yeah. Had a lot of fun. Then yeah, Saturday or Friday night played a bunch of drinking games, which were also a lot of fun. And there was so much gambling. There's a lot more gambling than you would think. Dude, the first night I made $60, one on my friend Gus the Bus, shout out Donnie Porkchop, who beat my cousin in a chugging contest. And I just knew, I've seen this man beat his own father, who's been drinking for like 40 years, pretty much.
Oh, so Gus just does not.
Dude,
he does not mess around.
No, he demolishes. And it was a close race, but he beat him. So I made $20 there. I was like, nice. And then my other two cousins were in a frat. And so they started playing beer pong. And I just kept saying, $20 on Michael and TJ. And people were just like, are you sure you even want to think? Nope. Nope. Because I know they're gonna do it. And then they knew they were a ringer when they came up and Michael just started yelling out all these terms of rules that nobody understood.
What?
Yeah, one cup gentleman. Don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is, no.
No bounces.
Dude, screw you.
Gentlemen roll back, which means, like, if it rolls back, there's no trick shots. You just give the ball to their team. Yeah, it was very, like, professional. He did not mess around.
No, you should be able to bounce, though. That's a part of beer pong. No. I don't care what anyone says.
No, you got to have skill. Got to sink it.
Also,
you
know? To be fair, I haven't played beer pong since I was, like, a sophomore in college.
Yeah, so I made $40 off them on two games, and then I lost $70 in poker. And then, but throughout the weekend, I made it back in other poker games and walked away with $100 by the end of the weekend. So it was pretty cool. Also went paintballing. Got destroyed in that. I did, I guess, relatively well, but I got shot in the neck, face, you know, all kinds of stuff. You're wearing a mask. You're fine. The point is, it was a lot of fun. Very happy to have the people there. Very sorry to have missed you. I completely understand, though. It is what it is.
Yeah, it stunk. And you know, I'll tell you what, with the move thing, with the process and all that, and just thinking about the amount of money that I'm about to spend, not just on the apartment. I bought my suit for your wedding, for my cousin's wedding.
Okay. Yeah. You bought one.
Oh, you're damn right.
Not
I did.
Not renting one.
I'm okay. Not renting one because I.
Did you not have a suit before?
I didn't have a suit. Well, at least my previous suit no longer fit me.
Right.
Because yeah. I hadn't worn it probably since I was 19, 20 years old.
Right.
But, you know, I go to Men's Warehouse and, you know, I honestly didn't know what type of fit I wanted. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go with the slim fit. I didn't know. Right. The only thing I knew is I knew which color I wanted. Okay. I wanted a mix between royal and navy blue.
Ooh.
And you're. Damn right, that's what I got.
That's a good color.
Now I got a nice darkened red tie to go with my white shirt that'll bring
wow.
contrast. And
full
I'm gonna,
politician, dude.
And I'm gonna go with the I'm gonna go with the brown shoes. It's brown.
Oh
shoe,
yeah, yeah.
Brown
we're
shoes
rocking. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm rocking brown shoes as well.
Now, yep. I'm not saying at which whether it's your wedding or my cousin Shana's, I'm not saying I have to clean up with those hot babes, but there's a reason I bought the suit that I bought. This is not just a $500 investment for no other reason.
Right, right.
But no, I'm actually, you know, it was really kind of exciting. And, you know, I went with my dad, and, you know, he was getting fitted and all that. And I love the people that come out to do the fitting. So these 90,000-year-old Jewish people that come out, and they, you know, they have the tape measure around their neck, and,
right.
you know, they talk, they make very, very light conversation with you. And the guy that was fitting me was maybe 2 years younger than us. Probably fairly new to the job and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
He was helping me get fitted out. He goes, "Oh, you know, are you in the wedding?" I'm like, "No, I'm not in the wedding. I'm just a spectator."
Just a spectator. <That's> what does that mean?
Honestly,
just watching from the trees. Just.
But here's what I didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
So he was really selling me hard on this one navy blue suit, and it was a nice suit. Okay. And he goes, "This is typically an $800 suit." And immediately I'm just like, wow.
Shit,
like,
dude.
Guess what I'm not getting.
Yeah, right.
He goes, "Well, it's on sale for $250. I'm like, oh.
Shit. No way. Really?
I'm like, "Are you serious?" He goes, "Yeah, let me check. I know this was on sale last week. Let me just make sure." He brings it to the back, comes back, goes, "Unfortunately, it's back up to $875 if you would be interested." I'm like, "I wouldn't be interested."
No, thanks.
But you know
yeah.
what? I appreciate how hard you were pushing me on it.
Right.
Then, you know, I go with this safe option, a nice Calvin Klein. You can't go wrong with Calvin
no,
Klein.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Marky Mark. Yeah.
Now, there was one other thing that they were doing in this store that I thought was interesting. Being where I work, we have inventory. We were just coming out of our inventory season.
Yes.
And this store was in the midst of their inventory.
Anybody who does retail knows it's a nightmare.
Absolutely. Now, yeah. I hear the beeps from like the guns and everything,
yeah.
from scanning
yeah.
each fixture and all that, and I'm kind of getting like PTSD. I'm like, oh, my God. Because for those who don't know, or I'm not going to go into great detail about my work and
I'm
everything.
I'm not going to go there.
Right. Yeah.
But just put it this way. When I had my inventory, I went in at 7 p.m. on a Sunday and did not leave until 8 a.m. on that Monday.
Yeah.
I was very, very tired.
Yeah.
I slept all day afterwards. And then I went back to work as you normally do. So the person who was doing the fitting asked me, "Oh, where do you work?" So I tell him where I work. And he goes, "Oh, my God. I would never want to do that inventory. That sounds horrible." I'm like, "Yeah. No one asked you whether you'd want to do it or not."
Right.
Their inventory looked so much easier, though. The only thing that I thought sucked was the big table of ties. That's the only thing
right.
I thought. That
right.
would kind of suck a little bit.
Yeah, it seems pretty organized. They have a limited number of items. Like, a Men's Warehouse isn't big. Dick's is like a fucking factory.
Shout out to where I work, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, could you imagine doing the inventory of, like, a BJ's or a Sam's Club? Costco?
Oh
my God.
I would make sure my vacation is planned out every year.
Jesus,
I'd be like, "You cannot count on me for BJ's and Costco, especially." Like,
dude, massive. Like a massive department store. Yeah.
It's just, at that point, I feel like they have to do, like, they have to cycle count inventory their stuff as
I'm
it
sure
comes
they
in.
Do.
They
yeah,
have
that's a good
to.
Point. That's a good point. Yeah.
But yeah, so if you can't tell already, it's kind of a dead period in sports. This is always
yeah.
Football started technically, but we're in that now in between. We're like, "Oh, okay, the first week of preseason's over, and now we don't care until September 11th when the regular season begins."
Yeah.
College football starts on September 1st, at least for Penn State. They're going up against Purdue. I'm excited. I'm actually going to be working in Penn State Harrisburg that day. Yeah. So my plan is, while I'm calling the soccer game, I'm going to have my laptop to the right of me, and I'm going to have the Penn State game up.
There
my boss, Tom, and I will be watching. And we will, you know, maybe we'll pay attention to the soccer game. We'll mainly be paying attention to the football team.
There's only one football in this country. Okay.
Don't you love the people on Twitter, like those people from like Europe and stuff like that, and they talk about how horrible our football is compared to their football? Right. And I got nothing against soccer. Like, I kind of enjoy the sport. It can be really fun. The World Cup especially is like the premier event for me to watch.
No, it's a fun sport to watch.
But don't tell me that my football sucks. You're wrong. Yeah. It's just you can say that you like your sport better without having to try and put down my sport. It's just asinine.
Right. And then I always hear the thing like, well, soccer football is it's a world sport. It's much bigger throughout the world. No one cares about your football. And it's like, yeah, well, because we produce monsters of men and you have children living in your countries. Okay.
The only sport relatable would be rugby. And rugby is a...
Rugby's gnarly. I find rugby much more entertaining than I find soccer, in my opinion.
Who wouldn't?
Dude, it's unfathomable.
The old videos of Jordan Mailata playing rugby, and he is just running people over like he's a freight train.
Yeah.
I've never played rugby, but taking one look at those highlight clips, I know for a fact I would never want to play rugby. I would want to just safely be a fan watching from the stands. Yeah.
Dude, I love when they just punt it. They just grab it and just boot it down.
Yeah, it's awesome, and they goes 90 yards down the field. Yeah. And you're just like, man, this sport's awesome. I don't understand.
There's just sheer panic when they punt it to me. They're just grabbing it, get it the fuck out of here.
How about the mosh pit just to get the damn ball?
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's that's like every rave, every goth kid's ever dreamed of being in.
Yeah, never liked the mosh pits. Never was a mosh pit person.
No,
never saw the purpose. I've been to concerts where they've had circle pits and mosh pits. No, thank you. I'm good.
Do you know at least what the point of it is? Like, why?
No.
It's
a bunch of people who, weren't hugged enough by their parents, and they're going to take it out on everybody else. That's what
they
it looks
just
like
go in there. Elbows are flying.
Yeah. I mean, some are kind of cool. Like, I've heard some are cool where it's just people shoving each other, where, there's kind of an unwritten rule. Like, you don't actually punch people. You just shove and bounce back and forth.
Playful shove. Okay.
Yeah. And I get that. It's just a high energy thing. But there is always one lunatic asshole
that
who
has
just
to take it too far.
Go in and just be like, fuck you, dad. And just take it out on everybody.
Haymaker.
Just swinging. Yeah. Animals. And never been a fan. Never understood it.
Speaking of animals.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Deshaun Watson for a second.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson. What a guy.
Yeah.
So the Philadelphia Eagles are currently in Cleveland right now doing the joint practices with the Cleveland
Browns.
Oh,
I didn't know they were doing that with the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, they are.
That's interesting.
Apparently, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts just torched the Browns secondary all day today. Mm. Which I kind of enjoyed.
I mean, besides Denzel Ward, who do they really have? Like, I don't know much about. Like, I know like one or two key players. They have Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett, which are two to me top tier defensive players in the NFL.
So that's why when you said to me, when you said that, they have a good defense, I'm like, it's okay. Like, it's not. They have Denzel Ward, who I think is a very, very good cornerback.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
he's very good. I think he's underrated, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he's good. I just the rest of that defense. Not so much. Now, Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 11 games, which is more than the six-game suspension that was handed down by the federal judge.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Which didn't make any sense. I see that he committed multiple felonies, and what he did was really wrong and was terrible. Six games. All right. Okay.
So I just thought I'd mention a couple things about Deshaun Watson was made available for press conferences, which the Cleveland Browns PR team probably needs to all be fired. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy that you thought that it would be a good idea to put him on the stand today in front of all the reporters. Philly reporters, by the way.
I didn't know they did that.
So Deshaun Watson... who had previously apologized for what had happened, now says, I've always been able to stand on my innocence and always said I never assaulted or disrespected anyone, but at the same point, I have to continue to push forward with my career. He also, now I believe, I'm looking for the exact quote, he apparently had also said that he's not really sorry, because he says he never did anything.
That's, yeah.
And yep. Here is...
Neither did OJ, right?
Neither did OJ, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, 11 games and a $5 million fine plus psychiatric evaluation and treatment.
Right.
The $5 million fine is bullshit. Who cares about that? He's getting $230 million guaranteed.
Right.
No one cares about that.
Right.
The 11 games for me is kind of interesting. The NFL, all we heard in between today and after the report, after the initial six-game suspension came out, was how the NFL wanted a year. They said, we have to get a year from Deshaun Watson.
Right.
We need to take this stand. This was unacceptable. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Then we find out later that the Browns and the NFLPA struck up a deal with the NFL to bring it to 11 games, which will mean he gets to play the Houston Texans, everyone. Which, yes, by the way, everyone's talking about that as if that is some sort of marquee game that is going to be broadcast throughout the cosmos. The Houston Texans, and this is no offense to Texans fans, I know that you guys are going through enough right now. The Houston Texans suck. That is going to be an awful game from top to bottom. That game's going to be 48-3, the final. Who cares about that game?
No, I think the reason why they're bringing it up is because of that. Because it's in a way, comedic. Because it's just like, of all the teams to come back and beat up on, he's coming back on his former team, which is in the basement.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. And he's going to come back and just, I mean, let's be real, he's going to shred him.
He's
going to shred that
and
team.
And guess what? He's going to get booed all throughout Houston.
Yeah, he's going to get booed pretty much everywhere he goes.
He should. I wish he was coming to Philly this year. Oh, God, do I wish they were coming to Philly this year.
Yeah.
Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, was quoted with saying this. It's important to remember Deshaun Watson is 26 years old, and he's a hell of an NFL quarterback.
No one denied that.
That is such tone.
Oh, that was it. That's the end of the statement?
That's the statement.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going.
No.
Okay.
No. It's
nobody.
Just,
yeah. We all know that. Everybody knows that.
I just can't believe how tone deaf. Oh, and this is also more to the story, more to the press conference. Jimmy Haslam, quoted, was saying, he said he's remorseful. Deshaun Watson, minutes later, I continue to stand on my innocence. Just because settlements happen, it doesn't mean a person is guilty of anything. Okay, is he remorseful or not? Because you damn well are not remorseful if you're going to talk like that.
Right.
So, here's the reality.
Listen, it's important to remember that John Wayne Gacy is 40-plus, and he's a hell of a clown. Really? We know that.
What
a
reference. That's,
we got that.
That's an elite reference. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, someone I saw on Twitter, someone asked, where does this compare when the Eagles signed Michael Vick? Obviously, different situations, different crimes were committed. And I thought about that. And I thought, one guy admitted he was wrong, served time, served 2 years in prison. And I don't condone what Michael Vick did. I really don't. I have a dog. I love dogs.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought, you know, what he did, it was abysmal what he did and unforgivable in that respect. No one will ever forgive him for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a man that went to prison and served time. And when he came back,
he took responsibility for his actions.
He made good on his second opportunity and has tried to be proactive ever since then.
Yeah.
This is not a guy.
That's the point of the justice system.
It's what it's supposed to be.
You know, that's like a story of an ideal justice system where somebody commits a crime, a terrible crime, serves their time, comes out a better, refurbished, I guess, man. Mm-hmm. And changes their ways for the better. I mean, what else do you want?
So, with Deshaun Watson, he doesn't go to prison, which, fine. He didn't get indicted on the crimes. The grand jury did not find sufficient evidence to do that. Whatever. To say that you're not sorry. And by the way, this whole quote of, just because settlements happen, it doesn't mean a person is guilty of anything. In the law, yes, you might be correct about that. But if you were truly innocent of any wrongdoing, wouldn't you be suing all these women that are making these false accusations?
You're not going to settle there, buddy.
Wouldn't you go after them for slander? I was in communications law. I know what slander is. I know darn well that you would have a great case if you had absolutely, positively no possible tie-in to what they were saying.
Yeah.
But let's just call it for what it is. He did do something.
Yeah.
And he takes no accountability for it. He takes no responsibility for it. And I think the NFL allowing this to go to 11 games and everything is absolute bull. Yeah. What ground are you standing on? Meanwhile, Calvin Ridley's out for a year because he put $1,500 down on Bally's Casino.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. I'm mad at the NFL, but the smugness from Deshaun Watson, I don't wish anything bad on people. I try not to. I try to not be that guy. But, God, I wouldn't shed a tear. Just wouldn't. I would not shed a tear if something abysmal happens that kills his season.
I don't think most people would, except for Cleveland Brown fans. And here's the thing. I saw somebody else say this, and I don't know her name, and I feel terrible not knowing because I only saw a clip of it on Twitter. But for the people like the Cleveland Brown fans that are happy and they're saying like, oh, he's innocent, blah, blah, blah. Get a fucking life.
I agree.
Because clearly if you care that much about football that you're willing to let this go, you've got nothing going on.
Do you think that Deshaun Watson's going to win the Cleveland Browns a Super Bowl?
No.
No, neither do I.
No.
This story does not end in him lifting the Lombardi trophy.
Don't get me wrong. Like, Deshaun Watson, he is a great quarterback.
Yeah.
He was a great quarterback number-wise. How good were the Houston Texans when he was playing for them?
Well, he went 28-26 as a starter. They had 2018, they went 12-4.
Okay.
And they lost in the first round.
Right. That's when they had, you know, J.J. Watt and, like, a
DeAndre Hopkins at that time, too.
Yeah.
And also, they had Demaryius Thomas, rest in peace.
Yeah. They had a well-built team.
Yeah.
Now, again, Cleveland, I do think Amari Cooper's probably going to have a pretty solid season. They have a great running game.
They do. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I think Nick Chubb might be the top three running backs.
Nick Chubb is one of my favorite running backs in the league.
He's one of my favorite running backs I've ever covered.
Yeah. I mean, he's outstanding. But, yeah, no, my point is, I think he's a great stat-based quarterback. You know who else is a good – now, granted, this is totally different. These players are not comparable in terms of talent. Carson Wentz has solid stats.
Oh, yeah, he does.
But, I mean, come on. We saw what happened in Jacksonville last season. Christ. Come on, Carson.
Like, people talk about how, you know what? Look at Deshaun Watson's numbers from the year the Texans fell apart when, like, 4-11-1 – and, look at his numbers. They were phenomenal.
They were phenomenal. The team sucked.
The team was awful. Well, the team wasn't built well. The team's not built well now.
Right. Right.
4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 112 quarterback rating, a 70% completion percentage. I just want to make it clear, that's not going to happen again, by the way. That's not going to happen again.
I don't think so either.
Deshaun Watson is a phenomenal quarterback. He doesn't deserve to be playing.
Yeah.
And by the way,
and it makes
his real name's Derek, by the way. So fuck you, Derek.
Yeah, Derek. Yeah, that's good.
What a terrible
I didn't know that.
Name. What a guy. I'm sorry to any Dereks out there, but I'm just going to make fun of the name Derek because everyone calls him Deshaun Watson, but his name's Derek.
His name's Derek. Yeah.
His middle
I didn't
name's
know
Deshaun.
That. I never knew that. But yeah, no, and like it kind of puts a whole it makes the whole no more movement absolutely laughable from the NFL, and it just shows that they, again, something everybody already knew, that they're just a conglomerate organization that cares about their profits and their money, and that's it.
Deshaun Watson in the playoffs, I just want to, because everyone loves to talk about playoffs, Deshaun Watson in his playoff career, he is 1-2, he has 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The 2018 season, they lost 21-7 to Frank Reich and the Indianapolis Colts. That was the last year of Andrew Luck being in the NFL.
Right, right.
That game, he was 29-49, 59 completion percentage, 235 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
And here's the thing. That's just a shame about the NFL, right? Is it has players like Deshaun Watson, right? Just pieces
Greg
of shit.
Greg Hardy's, Ezekiel Elliott's. Yeah.
But then you have guys like Andrew Luck as well. They have to be in the same league. A good guy as Andrew Luck is, who is a premier talent and also just a down-to-earth, honest, good person. And he has to play in the same league as some piece of shit like this. Granted, not anymore because he retired, but you know what I mean? Like, come on.
I mean, like,
it's terrible.
Look at the Eagles quarterback situation.
Jalen Hurts. Another prime example.
Just a good person.
Just seems like a great guy.
Works very hard. That is
takes responsibility for his play, takes responsibility for his actions. Fantastic.
Any fan outside of the NFC East, if you're like a Dolphins fan, you look at Jalen Hurts, you're like, you know what?
Oh, you root for the guy.
I want Philadelphia to be something with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, you root for the guy.
You don't know if it'll happen.
No matter what.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. He's a good enough quarterback where I feel good about this season, and he's a good enough guy where I'm like, that is a guy I can root for him so hard any day of the week.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson's not a guy you can root for. Deshaun Watson's not a guy that you want to see succeed unless you're a Cleveland Browns fan. And I'm just letting you know, this never works out in your favor the way you think it does.
And it's just, it's also like, it's difficult to think about the fact of like, dude, like how, if you're a Cleveland Brown fan and you're buying his jersey, like do you have a daughter? How do you explain it to your daughter? When your daughter becomes old enough to
know. They don't care, Cameron. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
But you know why? Because it hasn't hit them at home. Because
right.
that daughter hasn't
right.
gone through that.
You're right.
And the first time that it does,
yeah.
do you know what they're going to do? They're gonna just shoo it away. They're just going to shoo it away. Because that's what they do. That's what people
just,
who want to make excuses all the time, that's what they do. They just ignore. It takes a real strong individual to address being uncomfortable. You can ignore it all you want. You can choose to not see things the way that they truly are and try and have your own little bubble and be safe in your quote-unquote safe space.
Yeah.
But it takes a real encouraging and mature person when they are uncomfortable and they say, you know what, I just can't get behind this. I can't do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Like, if Deshaun Watson had been a Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, I would have never been able to be comfortable with it.
Yeah, and like, it's no, you're absolutely right. I think you hit the nail on the head. And it's difficult for for myself too as a Dolphins fan with Tyreek Hill on the team.
I bet.
Don't get me wrong. I want the team to be successful, but I'm also not going to lie and tell you that I'm rooting for Tyreek Hill. I don't like the guy as a person. I heard that voicemail message. I don't like it. It's sickening.
Not at all.
It's sickening.
Like, you look at who the Eagles have had at quarterback, and I know Nick Foles, great person.
Great dude.
Carson Wentz, by all accounts, he might be not the best teammate. He's not a bad person.
No, it doesn't look like it. No. He doesn't have, like, skeletons in his closet, just a little quirky. And
he's just got some deers on his mantle. Yeah.
And seems like a terrible guy in the locker room. He just seems like a dork.
He's a dork.
Just like one of those guys who's just like, come on, man, let's get together. And then as soon as he walks away, all the players look at you like, what the fuck?
Even like Donovan McNabb. He was like...
Yeah. A little bit of a prima donna.
Prima donna, he thought he was very cool. He thought he was very, very cool. But he wasn't like a bad person or anything like that.
He was pretty cool.
Speaking of Carson Wentz, did you happen to catch any of that little interview that the journal...
No. I haven't watched any interviews that haven't been my...
Well, to make a long story short, an interview... I forget the reporter's name interviewer's name. He basically says, like, do you think this is, like, your last chance to be an NFL starting quarterback? And Carson answers
it. That's why journalists exist.
Carson answers it the exact way you'd think it was. You know, I'm just here to put that all behind me. You know, I'm here to, you know, go out. And if people don't believe me, they don't believe me. But, you know, I'm just excited to be out there with my guys and everything like that. And I'm just thinking the entire time, I'm just like, oh, God.
Yep, he said,
don't push me here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. John. I hope it's a good season, at least by what the best possible outcome could be for the Flyers this season.
It's like, hey, Carson.
You're probably beat up in the bus stop most of the time. Next.
Yeah. Next!
Yeah, no, dude,
That's what the Washington Commanders will be saying in about
a
year.
I have to. I'm glad we're talking about this. It reminded me, just football in general, it reminded me of a clip that I saw today that I want to show you. Now, we all know Trayvon Diggs, right?
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple interceptions last year. Some great ones. I like the guy, right? He seems like a cool dude. His kid seems just... Interviews are fantastic. Absolutely unbelievable. Love him. You know, he's a great character to have. But I want to show you this clip earlier today. They're having a joint practice with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Okay. Justin Herbert throws a pass to Keenan Allen. Now, when you look at this. Now, you might have seen it.
So, this is Justin Herbert. He's rolling out to his right. I see Trey Diggs just staring at Keenan. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's just staring right at Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. He didn't even...
For those watching have seen it or who have not have seen it, Herbert just rolls out to his right side.
Yeah.
And it looks like, I don't know what kind of route it is. I guess it's just pretty much a slant route by Keenan Allen to the right side.
It kind of looks like he has like an end point to his route as well.
Yeah, because he just straight up stops running and just stands there. Herbert zips it to him. And don't get me wrong, Herbert has a rocket. I mean, he's zipping that ball quick. It comes out fast.
One of my favorite quarterbacks in football.
He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Trayvon Diggs is looking at Keenan Allen, who's looking at the ball with his hands up, ready to catch it, just stares at him, does not turn around. That is cornerback 101, my guy. Now, we do all know that obviously he let, like, what, he's like, I think allowed the most receiving
1,200 yards, I think, last season.
Jesus.
He had 15 interceptions, though, Cameron.
Like,
I mean,
don't get me wrong. Listen, the 15 interceptions are absolutely impressive. But, like, right there, that's an interception, dude. Just fucking turn around.
Not only so, like, here's what we have to understand about.
Look at the eyes. It's all about the eyes.
He wasn't looking at the eyes.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't looking at anything.
I don't know what the hell he was looking at there.
I mean, dude, he looked like me out there when I'm playing, like turkey bowl with my friends. When I see
turkey
their
bowl.
Eyes light up, and I'm like, I know if I turn around, I'm going to trip myself because I'm not coordinated. So I just throw my hands up like I'm in Rebound starring Martin Lawrence, and he puts the icy hot on their armpits, and they're all about to hold their hands up. That's what I look like. That's what Trayvon Diggs looked like.
So let's just address Trayvon Diggs.
Dude.
He is a gambler.
He's
going to go for it. And if he gets it, oh boy, howdy, he's housing
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
It's going to look like primetime.
Yeah.
But the problem is, primetime was also the single greatest man coverage cornerback ever.
Yeah.
He's not good at man coverage. He's really not.
Deion Sanders was something else. Man.
Deion Sanders is the greatest cornerback of all time.
He was
only guy that is in his ballpark is Darrell Revis. That is the only other guy that I can think of.
Yeah, I would put Darrell Revis number one.
You would put Revis number one?
Yeah, because, dude, when you look at the receivers he went up against and he just locked them down.
I mean, Sanders going up against Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, those kind of guys.
That's true.
And,
yeah,
like, Michael Irvin for, yeah, a little bit.
My favorite Deion Sanders bit is when I think we met with the New York Giants, and they were drafting, I think, 7th or something like that. And he was just like, I'm not going to be on the board. There's no point in doing this.
Well, there was also the one Deion Sanders myth where, like, he apparently, like, came in on a limo to do his, I guess,
yeah, the unrecorded combine. The, yeah.
Apparently, it was, like, some people say it was, like, 4-1.
It always changes.
I really wish we knew what it was, because more likely than anything, because he was very fast,
mm-hmm,
it was probably like a high 4-2. That's what I would guess. I mean, think about John Ross from the receiver,
yeah,
from the Bengals. He set the record, didn't he? Was
I believe
a 4-2-2
so.
Or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah.
That is insanely fast. Deion Sanders, he might not have – if he didn't have great vertical speed, which he did, he had football speed. That's something,
yeah,
that a lot of people overlook when you're looking at the combine. Yeah, he's fast. He can run a track better than anyone. Like Devin Allen, the Eagles receiver, who's on – he might be a practice squad guy. He was in the world championships for track running. But you got to have football speed.
Yeah.
You got to be able to get off the ball. You got to be able to break on a ball real quick, especially if you're going to be a cornerback. But the point is that Trayvon Diggs is a –
yeah, Deion Sanders, his official time in the combine was 4.27 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Officially.
That's
the number one, though.
Is it not John Ross? I thought it was John Ross.
Oh, it's somebody from the fucking 60s? Come on, Neil.
We don't count those. Yeah. People didn't exist in the 60s.
We're
going to
go back here.
People didn't exist. Trey Diggs is a gambler, and when he goes for it and he gets it, it's great. When he misses, it's not great, and that's what he is.
The fastest 40-yard dash time, it was hand-timed, so it doesn't necessarily apply, but Bo Jackson, 4.13.
Okay, I can believe it. Bo.
You don't know Bo, dude. I mean, the dude, arguably the greatest athlete of all time.
The biggest what-if in sports.
Yeah, it really is a shame.
What if he doesn't break his hip against Cincinnati in that playoff game? Oh, my God. He ran for 900 yards in half a season, Cameron.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson, when he runs over Brian Bosworth on Monday Night Football against the Seahawks, forget about it.
Now, Chris Johnson ran a 4.24, but he claims that he ran a 4.18. And apparently, they did like one of those like kind of Mario Kart type of things where you're racing your ghost in a time tribal. They did that with him against John Ross, and it appeared that his was faster than John Ross in that little scenario.
Well, Chris, you know.
But John Ross, yeah, 4.22.
While we're on the discussion
4.22.
While we're on the discussion of like 40 times, Chris Johnson might have been the fastest running back I ever saw.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, mm-hmm. CJ2K was. That was real. I mean, it was short-lived, but that was as real as of a, you know, phenomena as you saw in the NFL from like 2009 to 2012, I guess. Chris Johnson was the fastest player. There was even discussion like, "Oh, who's faster, Chris Johnson or DeSean Jackson?" I think they even had a race. I think they got I forget if Chris challenged DeSean to a race or vice versa. I forget if they ever had that, but I do remember having like Eagles buys me like, no, DeSean Jackson's the fastest player in the NFL. And listen, there was a time where DeSean Jackson was the fastest player in the NFL. There was no two ways about that.
But okay, now back to the cornerbacks, because I'm just now on a kick. Darrell Revis, notable receivers he held under 35 yards in the year 2009. Andre Johnson held under 35 yards. Randy Moss, two times he held him under 35 yards. Marcus Colson, Terrell Owens, twice. But that was when he was with the Bills, so like toward the end of his career. Torrey Holt, Steve Smith, Reggie Wayne, Chad Johnson. Held under 35 yards, all those guys.
Torrey Holt was still playing in 2009. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was with the Jaguars.
That's a bad
way to go. Where you
go
to kill your career. It's where you go to die. Where you go to die.
Get out of there, Doug.
Yeah.
Wow, sorry. So he held all those players. Reggie Wayne's pretty notable. Because in 2009, the Colts went to the Super Bowl, and Reggie Wayne was like all level at that point. Who else was on the list? Go through that list one more time. You had Randy Moss on there.
Randy Moss twice. Andre Johnson. Marcus Colston.
That's a good one. That was
Terrell Owens with the Bills.
Yep.
Steve Smith.
With the Panthers.
Yes.
He was still very good. Incredible in 2009.
Dude, he was going with the Ravens. He never – he aged.
You're right.
Like
you know what? That
line.
Is not fair of me to say. He was so good
Steve
with the
Smith
Ravens.
Steve Smith was nasty.
He could have kept going. He didn't have to retire.
And then my personal favorite receiver growing up, Jed Ochocinco.
Chad Johnson.
He was the reason why I liked the Bengals growing up. Like they were, because the Dolphins sucks. It was always, you always pick another team to kind of be like, well, okay, well, my team's out, which is like after week six. You know, who do you go after? Who do you root for? And I'm like, well, dude, Chad Johnson.
I'm really glad I didn't have to live that life.
Yeah,
I'm really glad my team was good.
You had
enough.
A good childhood football wise. Yeah.
You know what Chad Johnson, you know how he like he'll like tip people crazy amounts like on his receipts?
Yeah.
He tipped someone like $2,000 or whatever, but on the receipt he wrote, I scored six touchdowns on Madden with myself. I was like, only Chad Johnson, man.
He still claims that the whole McDonald's being unhealthy is a myth. He says that he eats McDonald's like weekly, and he's like, I can still run a 4-3.
He lives in Philly, too. Yeah. I love the guy.
He's like, I can still run a 4-3. I eat McDonald's every day. I don't give a shit. Yeah, like if you hear him on I Am Athlete one time, they went in this whole debate about obesity and this whole thing, and they were just, how do you explain obesity? He's like, because motherfuckers are lazy. Like, he just just doubles down.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
So as we draw to a close, couple of things that I also just want to kind of point out. Right now, if you are a betting man, I know that we haven't done our Cameron's bets or anything in a little while, but I just wanted to kind of throw something out here. You know, I was listening back to one of my old bits on WSYC. I'm actually wearing my WSYC shirt today.
Shirt. Yeah.
I used to do like this one show, and we would do like strange news stories.
Right.
And that was one of my favorite parts about the show was just stuff happening that, you know, would be pretty weird.
So like a bizarre file type thing.
Absolutely.
From Preston Steve.
Absolutely.
Great, yeah. It's a great thing to do. A lot of radio shows do them now. And it's a lot of fun.
Here, you know, over the next course of the next few shows, I definitely want to incorporate that back into our show. I'd love to get some wacky news going.
That's cool. I like that too.
So, for those who don't know, the spotted lanternfly, they have been a problem in the Northeast region, specifically.
The past couple of years. Yeah.
Absolutely. They are now spreading like crazy. As a matter of fact, reports have indicated that the bugs have settled in New York, Canada, Maryland, Virginia, and North Carolina. And now, according to reports, have migrated over towards the Midwest.
It's the next stink bug.
Absolutely.
Like, they're just going to be a thing.
The insects are not dangerous, of course, to humans or pets. They don't bite or sting. They aren't venomous, but they do pose a serious risk to agriculture. So
they eat the shit out of trees, dude.
They eat the shit out of them. So if you see a spotted lanternfly, just look up a photo of one. They're really easy to see. There's like thousands of them on the sidewalk.
It's a shame because they're pretty cool looking.
They're cool looking. Yeah. Actually, I was like, oh, is this like a lantern? Like a lightning bug?
Right, right.
So here's how you kill one. You do not try and approach from the back because their hind legs, I mean, they make kangaroos look like petulant childs compared.
Like, they don't fly. They just literally jump.
They just jump.
Like 6 to 10 feet at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. You approach them from the front because they can't jump away from you when you're facing them right at them, and you just step right on them, no problem. And that's how you get rid of the spotted lanternfly. You know what Smokey the Bear used to say? Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can prevent the death of trees. So just remember that. That coming from me right there.
There you go.
For the Fly Guys Podcast, my name is Justin Goodhart. This has been Cameron Klein. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Fly Guys Podcast, at Cameron Klein 15, and yours truly at Goodhart Justin. Oh, Cameron.
It's good to be back, dude.
It's nice to be. A few days passed from a show.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
Good to get one back in.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're back next week. Football season's right around the corner, dude. I have a fantasy draft next Saturday. Another one, I believe, next Thursday or the Thursday after that.
I have mine on August 27th, so yeah. I think that is like next week or something like that.
I'm three leagues this year.
How are you going to do it, man?
Yeah.
Win one for me.
I do have the first overall in one of them, so.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Jonathan Taylor. Here
yeah,
we come.
Yeah,
yep, exactly.
Be happy, be healthy, and as always, let's go Flyers.